This morning, we welcome Jill Austin as our speaker. Jill is a past chair of UUFM and the current chair of the Worship Committee. She is a faculty member and department chair at MTSU in the Department of Management. Jill will speak on the topic, Front Porch Conversations. Let us welcome Jill.
Good morning. This new year seems like a good time to review who we are as a fellowship and to think about what is important to us. As you all know, at least from your program, if you didn't know it otherwise, this is our 53rd year as a fellowship. During these 53 years, UUFM has seen all kinds of changes. We are a community today because of those families who met together in their homes in those very early years and then met regularly in the home of Mrs. Ethel Womack. That group made time for discussion of important topics of the day, just as we do in our second hour programs. They made sure that their children had activities during their meetings, just as we do today. The dollars that were spent have definitely changed. The budget in 1962 was $125. We have a budget of about $32,000 this year. Average membership in those first few years was about 10 adults. At some point, there were only four adults. There were the Ferrises and the Williamsons. It was just a few short years ago that we only had about 20 people attending our services, that's counting the children. And we had no children's religious education program. We had no music in our services. Well, unless you count those CDs that we played and sang along to, and I'm not sure that counts. Now we average about 35 to 40 adults each Sunday, 10 children and teens, and we have visitors almost every week. These small group meetings 50 years ago and our larger meetings today remind me of the value of a church community and the importance of building this UUFM community together. So let's think for a few minutes about community, how community is built, and the values that develop. This discussion is based on a book that I read about how community in a small town is like conversations that once happened on the front porches of our homes. In this book, Eight Habits of the Heart, Clifton Talbert wrote about the porch people of Glen Allen, Mississippi. He wrote of his experiences growing up in the segregated South in the 1950s in the Mississippi Delta. As a young African-American man, he said that he learned by example the importance of community and values. In his book, Mr. Talbert relates stories from his childhood to provide examples of the importance of building strong communities. He said, I recall many conversations that showed the community to be a great people full of great dreams for us. Ice cream, homemade vanilla, served on Papa's front porch, provided just another excuse to get together and talk. Between Papa and my Aunt Willie Mae, he said, we'd have all the fixings needed for a good time. The guests would come bringing their children and grandchildren along. We shot marbles or played under the tall house. We could hear them talking about tomorrow, talking about their children who had gone up north or off to college. Though field work was our way of life, their conversations were about a better way of living. These front porch conversations shaped Talbert's life just as our experiences have shaped our values and our lives. I read this book several years ago as part of a leadership class for department chairs. I'm sure that the facilitators of that class wanted us to think about the community of faculty in our departments at our colleges and how our values influence our actions. But this wasn't my first thought after reading the book. First, this book made me think about those porch people in my life and those front porch conversations from my childhood. I'll give you a couple of examples. My grandmother and grandfather, these are my dad's parents, lived next door to us. Almost every afternoon, I went to visit them. During the nice weather, we sat in folding chairs under a large maple tree. Friends and neighbors often walked by the house. They stopped to talk, or they stopped their cars to visit with my grandparents. Often, they brought gifts, fruit or beans from their gardens. They told us of the news of their families. They told us jokes. They told us stories. Now, the second example that I recall from my childhood is my great aunt and uncle's house. These are my mom's relatives. They lived in Sherman, a small farming community in the north part of Mississippi. My brother and my sisters loved to go there. It was very different from our house. They had an outhouse, they had water pumped from a well, and they had chickens in the yard. And I remember lots of Sunday afternoons when we visited and other relatives would stop by their house to visit. Everyone laughed and talked until sunset. The adults shared sweet tea, iced tea, of course, tears, sympathy, along with the laughter and the stories on the large front porch. The kids played around the porch and listened to the adults' conversation. Mr. Talbert, in his book, referred to the feeling he got from the front porch conversations as the touch. The touch, he recalled, was of shared conversations after a hard day of work in the fields, of sharing meager meals as if they were banquets, of math problems being explained, of money being given. He called the values he learned from the porch people in his life 8 habits of the heart. These 8 habits he learned are a nurturing attitude, dependability, responsibility, friendship, brotherhood, high expectations, courage, and hope. Some of the values that were formed in me in my early years, things I learned from front porch conversations, and by watching those people who influenced me live their day-to-day lives, they were values like honesty, compassion, helpfulness to others, appreciation for what I have, and value in a good day's work. So reading Talbert's book took me back to a time when community and values were intertwined in a very direct way. It also made me think about how very difficult it may be to build community in today's world. It seems like lots of people go through their busy lives hoping they don't have to interact with other people. They drive into their garage so they can get into the house without seeing someone and making them stop to talk. They keep their house window blinds closed. They talk on their cell phones while they shop in stores. Seems that people find ways not to be connected to other people these days. And also, we don't have so many front porch conversations anymore. We have deck conversations now. We hide ourselves in the back of the house, and only our invited guests know that we're there and that we're accepting company. So this setting is very, very different from the open and sociable front porch of the past that really belonged to everyone and no one and was a place for family and friends to spend time. Now, of course, everyone doesn't have great memories of front porch conversations like the ones Mr. Talbert talked about or the examples I gave you from my childhood. Maybe it's sometimes challenging to find something positive in our life situations. There were certainly times in Mr. Talbert's life when he could have embraced negativity through judging other people or taking on poor values. And there were times when his values were called into question. Mr. Talbert grew up in a time and in a place where he could not eat in the restaurants of his town or use the public library or the water fountains or the restrooms. I'm sure he saw negative values such as hate and fear, but he chose to appreciate the hope, courage, and brotherhood that he learned from his community. Whatever our experiences in life as a child, positive and life-affirming or negative and destructive, as adults, we have many opportunities to create positive values in our lives. We also have opportunities to find porch people who can shape and reinforce our values and enhance our lives. Maybe we find them in organizations in college or social clubs or in nonprofit activities we're involved in, or maybe we find our porch people here at UUFM. We have a choice about whether we operate in a place that is life-affirming or destructive, and it's up to us where we decide to put our energy. Maybe it's possible that some people learned about positive, life-affirming values from front porch conversations from television shows like the Waltons or Andy Griffith. Maybe they didn't have these experiences in their own lives. If you watch these shows, then you know they provide a simple, honest way of living, people dealing with hardships, people caring about each other. In many episodes, you had Andy, Aunt Bee, Barney, Floyd, Goober, and the gang. And they exhibited the best of community and the challenges of community. And there was always a moral lesson taught at the same time. And then on shows like the Waltons, for example, you had role models like Esther and Zeb and John and Olivia. And they helped the children in the larger community of Walton's Mountain learn and practice the values of honesty, caring for others, helping other people, and surviving those tough times and maintaining faith and hope. And you might recall other values and influences from media, music, movies, TV that provide some really good examples of values or examples of ways communities embraced people, lifted people up, and helped to provide joy and hope. So now let's go back to reality and let's talk a little bit more about what it takes to build community. So how do we build community? Not just the community of our family that has a shared history, but a community of people who care about each other, people who exhibit some common values, and people who have a vision for a better world. Mr. Talbert said, when one builds people, a good community will emerge, one that will leave its imprint beyond our front rooms, far beyond the classroom, beyond the gym, beyond our offices, and beyond geographical boundaries. People are the center of community. To build community, we must share ourselves, our time, and our values with others. We build people first, and the community emerges. Now, after my stroll down memory lane a couple of minutes ago of those maple tree conversations with my grandparents and country people talking on front porches and my memories of Andy and Helen and friends in Mayberry, I started thinking about how much of what I read in 8 Habits of the Heart is about what we're trying to do here at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Murfreesboro. This is a community that is important to us. We hope people will stop by to visit. We hope they'll stay a while. We hope they'll bring their children and their friends to see us. We hope they will enjoy some conversation and coffee and snacks, and we hope they will decide to be part of our community. Wherever we are, the opportunity to build a good community is there, from the classroom to the sports field to the office cubicle, and yes, to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. There are many people who are waiting to hear someone say, welcome, and to be embraced by community. We have an opportunity to build our UUFM community, to share our lives, our hopes and dreams with each other. We know the values of Unitarian Universalism, and we recite them every week. Affirming and promoting inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, and so on. We just said them a few minutes ago. We know these values. But what do we actually do to build the UUFM community in Murfreesboro and to live our values? I found some guidelines from Mr. Talbert's book for ways to build community. We seem to be embracing our values to build this fellowship through our actions. Let me give you 6 statements from 8 Habits of the Heart and some examples of what we're doing here to build community. First, Talbert said, community is not a physical space. It is a stage where we anticipate our future together. Real community is people, not place. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't want a place of our very own at some point in the future. We certainly do. But we need to remember that people are the community and that the place is secondary. Our surroundings here, or maybe in our own place someday, help us to recognize our values and the community that we are. We have the chalice, the flags, the candles, our joys and concerns. We see when we come into this space that it looks like a UU congregation. But what we feel is the warmth and good wishes of the people here, not the surroundings that we create. 2, Talbert understood that people should recognize the importance of front porch conversations. Our informal activities like snacks at services, potluck dinners, picnics, lunch bunch on Sundays, UUFM groups, retreats, all of these things enhance our community and help us to develop relationships with others. And then we have our second hours. They help allow us to share our ideas, to listen to each other. We have serious conversations there. We have lighthearted talks. These second hour front porch conversations are important. All of these informal activities help us to get to know each other better and to learn what we share in terms of interest, life goals, and joys and sorrows. We're intentional about scheduling these informal activities because we know they help us to build a strong community. 3, from Talbert's book, we have to build people to build community, according to Talbert. Our religious education programs for children and teens, our second hour for adults, our programs and speakers at our services, and all the opportunities we have for attending regional and national UUA events, all of those things help us build people who will make our community strong. We understand that we need nurturing. our intellect, and our spirits. Building a strong community does not happen unless we each learn and grow to become our best selves. 4, Talbert also talked about hope and community. He said, every good community has been built upon hope. It is immeasurably valuable. It cannot be purchased or bartered or borrowed. It can only be shared and nurtured heart to heart. We build hope through sharing our joys and concerns with each other, or helping others by volunteering to work for social justice, or by encouraging our members when they are having a difficult time, or by calling or emailing to check when we have not seen someone for a while. We encourage others to keep moving forward and to work through difficulties when we stop to listen to others' needs. We see and feel hope through the reflection of others' caring and concern. 5, Talbert said, the full concept of community is much bigger, with consequences far beyond the place where we first experienced the touch of others in our lives. And the concept of community is beyond this community of Unitarian Universalists in this room. We can live our values in the larger community to create a more just society, a society that is filled with people of compassion, a world that is more free. Members and friends' efforts to raise money and awareness for a cause or to help others in need are some of the ways we contribute to the larger community. Or standing up for what is right in our community on issues, for example, like religious freedom or immigrants' rights. 6, Talbert said, if a community is to be viable, then all its citizens should be encouraged to maximize their gifts. We encourage people to volunteer their talents. Speaking, singing, teaching, leading second hour, or working with children. What may seem like small acts of community building to an individual volunteer are of immense value to this community. We encourage people to volunteer to work in their area of interest on committees, to give their money and their time. After all, we are all in this together. All of these examples show that we are living our Unitarian Universalist values through building our community here at UUFM. We do have some challenges as we continue to develop our community. And following are some questions that we might want to consider that may help us to build our church community more effectively. Do we give and practice hope? Talbert said, the world must never forget how hope looks, acts, and feels, or the obligation each individual has to practice it, to share it, and to pass it along. Hope helps us to look beyond our present circumstances to welcome an uncertain future. Let's be conscious of believing in tomorrow and of helping others to see the possibilities of their lives. Do we expect the best from others? Do we tell them our expectations and do we praise their accomplishments? Talbert says, expecting the best of others and praising their achievements was not just the long-ago practice of a small-town group of visionaries. He said it must be practiced wherever we live, where we work, and where we play. Part of the essential fabric of community is having high expectations for each other. We must remember to lift others up and to show appreciation for their efforts, while at the same time expecting each person to be his or her best self. Do we have the courage needed to build this community? Talbert says, courage can be memorialized in marble and stone, or it can be kept alive by those who live by its creed and pass it on. Some UUs are very open about their Unitarian Universalism. They wear the t-shirt, they have the bumper sticker on their cars. Of course, other people are a little more reserved. Both of these approaches are certainly acceptable, but that's not really the issue here in terms of courage. The issue is if and how we approach talking about Unitarian Universalism with others and how openly we build our community. For example, among our group, we sometimes have conversations about not offending others with our questioning of religious ideas or with our slogans in newspaper ads or on our Facebook page. And some of us might be concerned about letting people know that we're Unitarians. Do we need a visible place with a large sign, or maybe should we stay in the background so we don't create too much controversy? These, I guess, are some of our issues I guess we could call courage. In his book, Talbert told the story of Fannie Lou Hamer. Ms. Hamer decided in 1962 that she had had enough of being a sharecropper and she wanted a better life. She went to register to vote in Indianola, Mississippi. On the return trip, she and 17 others were arrested. They were the wrong color to vote. She was arrested and beaten several times as she worked to help black citizens get the right to vote. She was part of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. Her group went to the Democratic Convention in 1964, and they challenged the validity of the all-white delegates sent by the state of Mississippi. She spoke before the Credentials Committee in a session that was televised. Millions of people saw her talk about being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And she was sick and tired of black people not having a voice in society. As a compromise, two delegates from her group were given speaking rights at the convention, and the others were seated as guests at the convention. It took courage for Ms. Hamer to do what she did. She was jailed, beaten, she lost her home, she was shot at. Questioning whether we have courage, it's really too strong a thing. We're not certainly living in the life and the time and the action that Fannie Lou Hamer lived. It's really easy for us to live our values compared to things like this that Fannie Lou Hamer went through. So maybe we should really use words like initiative and pride and action to describe this challenge for us at UUFM. Let's keep our values alive by passing them on. And even if it takes an extra explanation about our religion, or if we think a friend might think less of us if we tell them who we really are. So our question is this: do we have the self-confidence, the conviction, and the commitment that are needed to build our community? In building this fellowship and building on the legacy of our founders from more than 50 years ago, our attention must be on four things in the future: to continue to live our values in our UUFM community and in the larger community, to give and practice hope, and to expect the best of ourselves and others, and to have the conviction and the initiative to move forward to realize our goals at UUFM. So are we up to the task? I ask myself this question sometimes, for myself and I guess for all of us here. Does our community consistently practice the 8 habits of the heart? When we go about our day as the porch people at UUFM, do we have a nurturing attitude of others? Are we dependable? Do we take responsibility? Do we show friendship? Do we show brotherhood by welcoming people who are different from us? Do we have high expectations for ourselves and others? Do we have the courage to speak up and do the right thing? And do we make a commitment to excellence? Do we have hope in a better tomorrow? These are all great ideals we've probably considered when thinking about being an individual of strong, positive values. Of course, none of us is perfect. We all fall short in so many ways. We see things differently. We have different goals. We have differences in capacity to cultivate these habits of the heart. So I guess my real question here is not about our individual ideals, but this is the question: do we ever think about our UUFM community in these terms? That we are the porch people who invite and welcome others to the porch, and we show our best selves and lift people up. Do we ever consider that others look at us and learn from us, and that we have an obligation to be the kind of porch people that others need to have around? What will our community be like in another 50 years? Well, that's a little far away to even guess, but maybe what might we be like in 5 years? Will we be making an impact on other people's lives through our weekly meetings, by helping people be their best selves, and by encouraging courage and hope? Will we be visible in the community in a way that makes a real difference in Murfreesboro? Will we be learning and growing spiritually or intellectually through these weekly meetings? Well, that all depends on us. We must be very intentional in our efforts at UUFM in growing as individuals, in growing others, and in growing this congregation. As the porch people who must offer guidance and love and support to others, we also must accept that guidance and love and support when it is offered to us. Talbert says, "The memories formed from shared experiences, from unselfish acts of kindness, these are the elements of community that are cherished." And I agree. These habits of the heart are not just words. They are us. They are how others see us as individuals and how others see this congregation. And they are how we see each other. 5 years from now, we could be doing exactly the same thing we're doing now. We could have about 40 people sitting here in rented space. Or we could have Sunday maybe beginning and working on social justice. Maybe we could have a much smaller group. than we have now. Maybe we could have a larger group than we have now. It's really all about intention. Is our intention to come here and listen and to learn and to stop there? Or do we have bigger goals? Like the UUA goal says we want to transform the world. That's a big goal. Here's a cheery thought. This is from systems theory and management and science in general. All systems move toward disorganization and death. Without intention, what we get is decline. It seems that if we're content to do the same things we've always done, the same way we've always done them, then our likelihood of being here in 50 years is small. Again, what is our intention? We must back up that intention with action, planning, volunteering, meeting in committees, and generally doing the work that needs to be done. This idea of front porch people is a good way to think about how we can ensure that UUFM is here in Murfreesboro and is thriving for a long time in the future. This is our community to build, and it takes all of us, not just a few. We need all of us on the front porch, actively encouraging others and building the habits of the heart. As Talbert advises, let's keep doing what we're doing every day when the returns may seem small, but other people are counting on us. Now, some of you by this time may recognize this talk from one I gave 3 years ago. And you can notice that some of the things that I said earlier that we had some challenges on in getting people to be active and helping others, there were the same few people a few years ago doing most of the work, most of the volunteering. I noticed something very important and different this year about our community that tells me that we are being effective in answering these questions that I posed from Mr. Talbert. We are building a strong community here. We have so many people who are committed to the work here and so many people who volunteer to assist with our services. Notice that sometime. How many different people are helping out? How many different people are making a difference here? Yes, we are all in this experimenting community together. We are all needed here, and all of us have a role to play here. It's useful for us to think about the importance of building community here and the effort that it always takes, even when we are doing it pretty well. Remembering that statement I made earlier about how we have to be intentional or we lose ground. I'm so glad to be here and to be one of the porch people of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Murfreesboro. And I'm glad we're all on this porch together. And I'm really looking forward to important conversations that we'll have on this porch in 2016. Thank you.